OTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, 25th of February, Friday night edition of the show. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you this evening?
I'm good.
Oh,
you know,
good.
I'm just good. The weather's taking a turn for the better. It's going to get nice and warm for the next week.
Okay. You know,
which is kind of different because we've been stuck in that polar vortex for about 4 days.
Ooh, okay.
We had, Tuesday? I think maybe it was Tuesday. We never cracked zero.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and we were getting down to 15 below at night, and we had wind chills at minus 35. And,
wow.
But and now it's going to get up in the 50s and 60s next week. So
we've been in the upper 70s, low 80s, very little humidity, very nice past week or so. That polar vortex cut itself off, I believe, in northern Georgia, and it never reached here.
Yeah, it kind of hit a wall.
Yeah, of hot air. It hit the hot air coming up from the south.
Yep, yep. You guys down there in the south part of Florida, you have a very favorable jet stream pattern. It never gets to you. That jet stream comes dipping down and then it swings back up, and you know, it never hits you. We're kind of right in the middle of all of it. So here,
well,
in Nebraska,
about 8 years ago when they had that big giant polar vortex that hit most of the United States, it did go all the way down to the tip of South America, and for 3 weeks straight we never got above 60. And the nights went down to 29, 30, 32.
Well, I am playing the world's smallest violin just for you.
hey, we're not used to it.
You know, it never got above 60. Well, guess what? Here, it never got above 5 below zero.
Yeah, but for us, you know, 60 is boots, coats, mittens, hats, weather.
That's just sad. Well, folks, listen. It's a one-hour show. Now, I know on Tuesday night we told you that we were going to try and sneak in my Super Bowl article. That is not going to happen. There's too many things going on with the Ukraine-Russia situation. And so if you want to see that article, if you want to read that and share the link to it, just go to thenationalpatriot.com. It's good for a couple of laughs, but we're foregoing it on the show. We've got more important things to talk about than a Super Bowl that happened 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. In fact, tonight, folks, is probably going to be the worst night Ukraine has seen in decades.
I almost guarantee you that is true. Now, we're going to do things a little bit different tonight. On Tuesday's show, we each did an opening statement at the top of the show. Tonight, we're going to mix this thing up a little bit. Diane, you're going to do the opening statement now. I'll take the opening statement after the bottom of the hour break.
Okay.
So go ahead and hit us with your best shot. Give us the opening salvo.
Okay. Well, folks, yesterday Biden gave another presser. This time his so-called stronger sanctions now being placed on Russia, while at the same time saying sanctions might not work against Putin. Freezing the assets of more Russian banks and more Russian oligarchs is what he called for, and it basically accomplishes little to nothing. Biden did not call for, and neither did Europe, the one sanction that could hurt Putin, as in banning Russia regarding SWIFT, the global messaging service used by banks and financial institutions in the conducting of business, most especially oil business. Banning Russia would immediately damage Russia's economy by cutting Russia off from international financial transactions, including from its much-needed international profits from oil and gas production, which equates to more than 40% of Russian revenue. So why haven't European leaders called for this? Because Russia is Europe's desperately needed gas station, so to speak, and they dare not jeopardize their oil and gas supply being cut off. And Biden's most likely reason is that we need Russian oil imports, which run as high as over a half a million barrels per day, just to keep up with our own fossil fuel needs. Remember, Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline on day one of his occupying the White House, shut down the very pipeline which produced over 300,000 more barrels per day than the Russian imported oil amount does. Simply, if sanctions were implemented regarding SWIFT, sanctions in turn, which would greatly weaken Russia's monetary war chest, seeing Russia in turn stopping the flow of their oil into both Europe and the U.S. So what Biden and European leaders have done, at least up to this point, is choose oil over Ukraine's very survival. But there might be a glimmer of hope for Ukraine amongst this mess that few expected, especially if it plays out long enough and gains more traction, something that might eventually start the ball rolling towards Putin's ouster as head of the Russian Federation. And here I'm speaking of the 1,745 brave, mostly young Russians in 54 Russian cities who were arrested yesterday and detained after lining the streets, including Moscow itself, as they chanted no to war and unfurled a Ukrainian flag. In fact, opposition leader Tatiana Usmanov wrote on her Facebook page that she thought she was dreaming when she awoke to the news of the invasion, calling Putin's invasion a disgrace that will forever be with us. What a brave woman to say what Putin thought he'd never hear, especially since most Russians, albeit silently, refer to Ukraine as a brotherly nation. Remember, from small protests grow large protests, and if said protests are large enough and are carried on long enough, history has shown that even a dictator can fall.
You know, you bring up a good point there with those protests, and also it kind of begs a question. Okay, so a bunch of people show up in Moscow, they show up at Red Square, wherever it was, and they start to have this protest. Now, were they burning down half the city? No.
No.
No. Were they shooting at people? No. No, there was none of that going on. So we can safely say it was a peaceful protest.
Yes.
And then Putin goes out and has them arrested. So who does Putin think he is? Justin Trudeau?
No, Putin is, some people are questioning his very being right now because rumors are now circulating online that Putin is not well. Now, we're not talking like Joe Biden. We're talking about, some have said, there was such a shift in his personality that has he suffered a stroke? has he suffered long-term COVID? I mean, the theories are out there everywhere. But even some of the Russian military are saying 2-3 months ago, this is not the same man we're dealing with right now. So I even said to my husband today, if there is any validity to this, do you think it's possible that Putin's own military will say no and start laying down their weapons against Ukraine?
You know, that's very interesting, because there are several members of his military, and let's face it, his military is a 100% drafted military.
Okay? Right.
There are members of the military, the Russian military, that are in Ukraine right now that are openly asking, what are we doing here? Why are we fighting yes. here? They don't understand yep. it. They don't understand the provocation for it and that sort of thing. So yes. that's an interesting question to be asking. Will they eventually turn, the military, turn on Vladimir Putin? I think another interesting question along those very lines, what you're talking about, you know, they're saying, well, you know, goodness, did Putin have a stroke? Is there something, you know, going on here? I mean, if you looked at it, Diane, you tell me what you think. If you were going to make the speculation, and that's all it is at this point, is speculation.
Yes.
But if you were going to speculate, what would you speculate it is? Then I'll tell you maybe a different thing to think about in that regard.
Well, personally, if this is true, that a sudden switch has happened in Putin's personality, I would say he might very well be a victim, maybe not a full-blown stroke, but a number of TIAs, which also do affect a person, you know, not to the degree of a full-blown stroke, but can affect their cognitive ability. But I also think, with the protests that are going on and some of the police who were ordered to, you know, strong arm these protesters, when I look at the videos, they didn't do it. So
right.
what I'm thinking, remember, even in World War II, one of his generals, Hitler's generals, did try to kill him, but they,
right.
you know, failed. That whole thing failed. But the Ukrainians are ethnic Russians. And here it is. What Russia now has done is actually started a civil war against its own people, similar to our civil war, North against South. We were all Americans, but it was North against South. In a way, this kind of mimics that. You're
in
putting
an odd
Russian
way.
Against Russian, and that's not sitting well, especially with the younger generation who has had access to what's going on in the outside world.
Okay, so there's what you're right. It does have an eerie, odd resemblance to our own civil war in the 1800s. But you know, you make some valid observations regarding the possible, and that's all we can say at this point, the possible right. health of Vladimir Putin. I was thinking about it this afternoon, and I have maybe a different take on it.
Okay.
Okay. And again, this is only speculation. We don't know any of the inside information. It would be interesting to find out. But, you know, you're talking about cause and effect, a stroke or a TIA having the effect of changing one's personality.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
What I'm looking at is the possibility of something that's actually enhancing the personality he already had. Okay, there are several diseases, and I'll just bring up one of them. Let's say you have some sort of congestive heart failure in progress. There are several different diseases for which steroids are prescribed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that he's got roid rage, so don't get me wrong here. What I'm saying is, if you look at Putin today, as opposed to Putin a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, he looks a little bit more puffy now than he used to. Okay, now some of that could be age.
Okay. Right.
But here's the thing. The way he's acting right now could be, or let me ask it as a question, could it be that what we're seeing here is a man with a bucket list and a limited amount of time to fulfill the check marks on his bucket list? The fact that Ukraine has not been a part of Russia for a number of years has really eaten at Putin over those years, over the last couple of decades.
Sure.
Could this be a man who's hell-bent on doing something about something that's been eating at him for 20 or 25 years, and he knows now that he's short on time, so he's just going all out?
It's very possible. You know, if something is wrong with him to the degree that his time is limited, people do things they normally wouldn't do. And he could be acting out, oh, I want my place in history. I'm going to reestablish not Mother Russia any longer, but I'm going to bring back the Soviet Union. But what's very scary to me in that scenario, if let's say your scenario is correct, is that let's say it's not going well and his time is getting less and less.
Right.
What is to stop Vladimir Putin saying the hell with you all and pressing the red button?
That is a scary thought and a scary possibility, and you cannot rule it out.
Right.
I mean, that's one of those things where you just kind of go, ooh, I don't really want to think about it, but yet we should.
We need to think about it because here, basically what we have right now is two men not of their right mind. One is Vladimir Putin, one is Joe Biden. You're dealing with two dangerous men here who both have access to those red buttons. And it's a very, very scary thought because behind Biden is Obama. Behind Putin is China. But if you notice, China did warn Putin, please don't do this. And the reason, and I was researching it this afternoon, the reason China is not standing 100% behind Putin is because they do not want to sever complete economic ties with the U.S. Remember, we probably import more Chinese goods than anyone.
Certainly we import more Chinese goods than Russia does.
Right. And they do not want to lose us as a customer. No matter what happened between the Chinese president and President Trump, they do not want to lose us as customers. A great part of their economy depends on us being their number one customer. So you're dealing with very strange situation here. It's no longer just Russia versus Ukraine. We've got us as a player, and we've also got China as a player. So you're dealing on a worldwide scope, and each of those countries has that red button.
And, you know, it's funny you bring up China in this part of the conversation, and I'll tell you why. Earlier today, two Chinese state banks, I guess that's what they call them. Everything in China is owned by the government, so they're government banks. Anyway, a couple of them restricted financing for Russian commodity purchases. In other words, companies in China that make big purchases from Russia go through these government-owned Chinese banks, and they get letters of credit that are U.S. dollar denominated, okay?
Right.
And earlier today, China, two of their banks, put restrictions on the purchase of Russian goods using those letters of credit. Now, that's very interesting because, like you said, Diane, it follows exactly what you said. China is more worried about losing our business than they are about losing Russia's business.
Yeah. So you've got all different things going into play. You know, everybody first thought, oh, if Russia goes into Ukraine, China's going to run and go right into Taiwan. Well, we haven't seen yet any even inklings of that happening. Is it possible? Of course, China wants Taiwan back. But now the chessboard has changed a little bit.
Well, it certainly has, but maybe not as much as it needs to. Here's the other side of that Chinese bank restriction coin. I got word late this afternoon that a day or two ago, well, this would have been before the invasion started. This would have been probably Monday.
Okay.
The Biden administration went to China and presented China with some intelligence documents on the Russian troop buildup, hoping that China's Xi would step in and tell Putin, don't do this, which he did. Okay. But at the same time, the Chinese officials shared all the information we shared with China with Moscow.
Yeah. You don't know whose bed is who is sleeping in whose bed exactly. But I want to change this just a little bit for right now and speak about the Ukrainian people. Very, very fine people. They are standing strong for their country. You know, everybody thought that President Zelensky was going to run away. He didn't. He came out and announced he will not leave. They are not going to chase him out. He knows he has a bullseye on him, and so does his family. But he is staying with his country. And as right now, as we're speaking, the Ukrainian army has destroyed 80 tanks, 10 aircraft, 7 helicopters, and lost 2,800 personnel through either death or injuries. Now, and also included is armored combat vehicles of, you know, various types. However, I think this one man definitely needs to be recognized. I could not pronounce his name for the life of me. It is a very long Russian name, but I'll give you the first and the last name, but the middle, forget it. It's Vitaly Sakhin. What he was a Ukrainian. I believe he was part of their general staff of the armed forces, I guess. He was a battalion engineer. As the Russians were getting closer to Kiev, a number of Kiev's military were going out and destroying the bridges so that the Russian armaments could not get into Kiev. Well, Mr. Sakhin, like I said, he was a battalion engineer, and he was undertaking the mission to mine the support structure of the Genishevsky Bridge near Kiev before the Russian forces can cross it. When he got there and he saw what was going to be the blast zone, he knew if he set off the blast, there was no way he was going to make it out there alive because of the terrain, getting up off that, I guess, mound that they build it on, whatever. He radioed his commander and said he's going to set it off, even though he could not make it out alive. This man gave his life to save Kiev the best way he could by taking out this bridge. And we're going to be hearing more heroes like that coming out of Ukraine.
Now, I'm going to give our listeners a little inside the right side patriots peek here. When it comes to pronouncing foreign names, Diane is brilliant with the Chinese names.
Yeah, I took Chinese history and some Chinese in college, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a Chinese. I mean, I look at the Chinese names, and I'm thinking that's either somebody's name or it's the number two special on Tuesday night. Okay, I won't even try because my tongue will snap off its roller. I, on the other hand, have no problem with the Russian names.
Right.
So this guy's name.
I have a problem with this man's middle name, though.
No, this guy's name is Vitaly Shakin Vladimirovich.
Ah, okay, but the Vladimirovich is actually the middle name, not the last name.
Well, the article I'm looking at, because as you were telling us about him, I looked it up real fast, and the one I'm looking at, it's got it as his last name. Last name, middle name, first name, I don't know, but it's Vladimirovich.
And now that you say it, if I'm looking at it, yes, I can phonetically do it. But, you got to think Vladimirovich, blah, you know, it's not something that rolls off your tongue.
Vladimirovich? It's like Jones.
But having taken some Chinese and Chinese history, Chinese language, and in art classes, learning how to write the Chinese alphabet and stuff, it's very easy for me, the Chinese.
Yeah, and I
Japanese as well. Yeah,
I can do the Japanese. I can handle the Japanese for the most part. Chinese names I cannot handle, but Russia I have no problem. I don't know why.
Okay, hey, everybody has their little picadillos here, but this man, I mean, he really needs to be thought of as a hero for the Ukrainian people and also for the world, willing to give up his life for his country to help prevent these big tanks and everything moving in. You know, either Ukraine is going to stand or Ukraine is going to fall. We don't really know at this point, but it's people like him giving their life to at least give a chance that Ukraine will stand.
It's impressive.
It's very impressive.
You look at the fight these Ukrainians are putting up, and I'm not just talking about the military, but I'm talking about just about everybody in Ukraine right now. When you look at the stand they're taking and the fight they're putting up, especially over on the eastern end of Ukraine right now, it's impressive. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. Now, the Russian military, they've got some stumbling blocks, you know. I mean, you think of them as the big, bad Russian military, right? They can't fight in the dark.
Yeah, they don't have the night goggles and all that stuff that we have. That's true.
You know, I mean, it's just kind of an oddity when you think about it. But, yeah, tonight is going to be a very bad night in Kiev. Right now, Russian tanks and Russian personnel are standing on the very outskirts of Kiev. I mean, they're inside the city limits, but the city limits extend just a mile or so past the edge of town, let's say, the edge of the city. So they are within city limits. They're not quite inside the city of Kiev yet, but according to President Zelensky, they expect the Russians to move into the city at about 5 o'clock in the morning, which is going to be in the middle of our night.
Right. Well, Craig, you and I'll be up. I mean, you know, insomniacs. There's something very interesting about this that I read. I subscribed when this all started to happen to the Kiev Post, their English language paper. And Russia is trying to hide a lot, including one thing. Now, I don't know if this is true. There is no way to prove it, because what's happening now with the Kiev Post, which used to post regular articles like everybody else, but now they're doing like short blurbages. Some of the staff has vacated the city, and you can understand it, but they're getting some news out. It's been reported that Russia is sending crematory trucks to the area so that when their soldiers, if any of their soldiers are killed, they are immediately cremated. What that is doing is to hide the numbers of soldiers that the Ukrainians are getting.
That's just ghoulish.
It's very ghoulish. And that gives a little bit of credence to something's not right with Putin. And we're not talking, you know, the man is a dictator. He can call himself president all he wants, but he's a dictator. It gives a little bit of credence to maybe some of these musings about him not being well.
It does make you wonder.
Some validity to them.
It does make you wonder. Folks, we've hit the bottom of the hour. We got to take a quick break. We do have one segment left, 30 more minutes in the show. We'll get a couple of station IDs in. Then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about the situation between Russia, Ukraine, and more. And I've got a salvo to launch when we come back. So stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Getting you through a Friday night edition of the show. If you miss any part of it, you want to go to the website. Now, are they going to be able to do that tomorrow, Diane? Because we've had some issues with the website.
I just checked the website. The heading and the photos are still off. So apparently it has not been fixed yet. It is caused by WordPress, guys. They are having some issues and it's affected our website. So I will probably, when I put this up in the morning, direct people with the link directly over to Podbean. It will still be, the show will still be on our website. They can still get it on our website.
Right.
But it might be easier to just go right over to Podbean, because even if you click on our website, it's going to take you over there anyway.
Well, look for a link on Facebook or MeWe. Tomorrow from your friends here at Right Side Patriots.
And also on other sites. We're on Gab. We're on Gitter. We're on Megabook. We're on, what's the other one?
Your News. I don't know.
We're all over the place.
we're like the wind. We're everywhere. All right. So, Diane, you had the opening salvo at the top of the show. I've got an opening salvo for this segment of the show.
Okay. Shoot.
If you think back to the 2016 campaign, the liberal socialists in this country, including their propagandists in the mainstream media, all said that Trump was going to get us into one war after another. They even claimed that Trump would start World War III. None of that happened. In fact, quite the opposite happened. Trump strengthened our position on the world stage. He put the UN on notice. He laid into NATO for not doing their share of the heavy lifting, and he made our enemies fear us again. Trump made us energy independent, which strengthened our own economy and weakened our enemies. Then along came the idiot now occupying the Oval Office, and what has happened over the past 6 months? Biden turned Afghanistan over to an international terrorist organization and left Americans and our allies behind while he turned his back and shuffled out of the room. That was last September, and now, less than 6 months later, he's done nothing but make idle threats while allowing Ukraine to be invaded by Putin and Russia as yet another ally falls to our enemies. And then there's Hillary Clinton saying, quote, "We have to also make sure that within our own country, we are calling out those people who are giving aid and comfort to Vladimir Putin, who are talking about what a genius he is, what a smart move it is, who are unfortunately being broadcast by Russian media, not only inside Russia, but in Europe, to demonstrate the division within our own country." Hillary Clinton went on to say, "This is heartbreaking, but it's also dangerous, and I think it's time for what's left of the Republican Party that has any common sense to not just say, okay, go help defund Ukraine against Putin, or defend Ukraine against Putin, but to stand against those people in politics and government, in the media, elsewhere in our country, who are literally giving aid and comfort to an enemy of freedom and democracy." Seriously? She's blaming Trump, Fox News, and the likes of Diane and myself as right-side patriots for what's happening in Ukraine right now? Yeah. Well, let me set the record straight. None of this happened on Trump's watch, and nothing Trump did made this possible. So shut up, bitch. You hit the reset button with Putin. It was your watch that the administration you worked for signed a deal giving Iran nukes. And it was on your watch that China started flexing their muscles and are now poised to do to Taiwan what Putin is doing to Ukraine. Your boy Biden never scared off a fictitious corn pop in the swimming pool parking lot, and his empty threats have not scared away Putin. Trump wasn't doing business with Russia in 2016, but you, Hillary, you were. Trump was not making money from the Russians, but you and your husband were, and Trump wasn't involved in quid pro quo with Ukraine, but Biden was, and he bragged about it on video. And if you, Hillary, want to talk about giving aid and comfort to our enemies, how about we fire up a conversation about Benghazi right now? Seriously, Hillary needs to lay off the booze before breakfast.
Well, before we get into that, I have a little bit of breaking news right here.
Okay.
And it was just sent about a minute ago. President Zelensky has warned the Ukrainian people that Russia will storm Kiev tonight.
Yeah.
Storm was his words.
Right. Right. And like I said before, he's expecting that to probably occur at about 5 o'clock in the morning their time. And we're about, what, 7 hours off? Something like seven, 8 hours off from them?
This was just updated like 2 minutes ago. So I'm assuming it's already started. Kiev is about 7 hours ahead of us. So I'm assuming this storming, quote unquote, has already started. But UK officials have just said that Russia has lost momentum and failed to capture any major cities in the 2 days of fighting. That seems to be breaking now, too. But back to the Hillary thing, what people have to understand is when Trump was president, whether you liked him, disliked him, I don't care, Putin didn't do a damn thing anywhere in the world. Trump kept him at bay. Think back to all the things Hillary has done to screw this country. Benghazi, a big one there, selling our uranium to the Russians. I mean, the list goes on and on. That woman needs to keep her big trap shut. and fade away, because she forgets that the Durham report is hanging over her head. And if handled correctly, the Durham report could be Hillary Clinton's, you know, invitation to an orange jumpsuit.
I don't know if she'd look that good in orange.
She don't look that good in anything.
You got a point there. Look, I've got not this coming Tuesday, but this coming Tuesday. I'm getting mixed up on my dates here. This coming Tuesday, I've got a whole article about the Durham report, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden. It ends with the Ukraine-Russia situation. And I'll take you in depth on that, folks. I'll let you know what's going on there. But, Diane, you're absolutely right. I mean, the situation now over there in Ukraine is such that, you know, nothing that the Biden administration is doing is having any effect on Vladimir Putin or Russia at this point. And I don't expect it will, unless, as you said early in the show, unless they enact the SWIFT sanctions.
Well, there is another thing. In order to be sort of have an umbrella of protection over any country, especially our country, against the likes of Vladimir Putin, there's one thing that he is using as a threat. Remember, he's Europe's gas station. We're buying all this oil for him. We have to go back to our energy independence that Trump gave us. Biden must open the Keystone pipeline again. We must cut off Arab oil. We can handle our own energy needs. And so can many other countries, but they choose to take the easier way out. We can no longer allow this whole nonsense with these green energy and this and that. That's got to be put by the wayside. We need to become energy independent again. That way, these kind of threats will mean nothing to us.
Well, and let's put a finer point on that. Okay, we've got enough oil and gas reserves in our own country. If we chose to drill holes and pump that stuff out, we have enough of that not only to supply all the needs for our country, but to supply all of our European allies as well for the next 100 years.
Yeah. See, what people forget is fossil fuels are replenishable. They replenish themselves. You know, people think that, oh, you drill too much, you're going to run out of everything. It's not quite true. You've got to look at the science behind fossil fuels. And remember, all fossil fuels are the remnants of things, quote unquote, that have died. Well, the things on Earth constantly die. These things are replenishable.
Well, and let's, you know what, let's talk about that Russian oil for a minute.
Okay.
You know, Biden cut off our pipeline. He cut off, stopped drilling, closed down oil drilling rigs and stuff all over the country, right? And why? Well, for the Green New Deal, of course. You know? Well, but at the same time, he's buying... What was the number you quoted early in the show? 500.
Over 500,000, half a million barrels per day.
Okay.
Of oil from Russia.
Okay, half a million oil barrels per day from Russia. Well, guess what? Russian oil burns dirtier than the oil we drill in this country. Okay? It just does. I'm not making this up. It's dirtier oil, all right? Even when you run it through the refinery process, it's still dirtier oil than what we're able to do in our own country. So if you want to convince me that you're shutting down our oil production for green energy, then don't go getting dirty oil from somebody else. I don't care if it's Russia or who it is. But when you get your oil 500,000 barrels a day from the very country you're putting sanctions on, but you say, well, we don't want to disrupt Russia's oil export business. Well, why don't you? If you want to sanction Russia and kick them where it hurts, their nuts are in oil.
Right. Right. And let me go a little bit further about this replenishable. You've got to understand that replenishable is not the same as renewable. And oil, okay, is like coal and in a way like natural gas as well. They get replenished from sources within the mantle of the earth, not necessarily from decaying objects that always happen. But the fact is they can replenish. And you've got to understand the difference between renewable and replenish. So all this scare that we're going to be running out of fossil fuels, no, we're not.
Well, and we keep finding cleaner and cleaner ways to burn fuel. We find cleaner and cleaner ways to burn coal. We find cleaner and cleaner ways to refine oil. Natural gas is one of the cleanest burning things you can get. You know, so don't give me this green energy crap. The bottom line in all of this, and this is what Diane is saying here, the bottom line in all of this is when we're energy independent, we are strong as a nation.
Exactly.
We have leverage as a nation. But when we give that away, when we give that up and start importing our oil and our energy from foreign sources, we're putting the power and the leverage we used to have in their hands.
Exactly. And in fact, you know, part of the problem is we all call oil a fossil fuel. But actually, scientifically, it's not. It's an abiotic fuel.
Well, and you don't want to make the mistake that a lot of people make. Either. You know, you don't want to confuse fossil fuel with Joe Biden, who's a fossil fool.
That's a good one.
So you don't want to make that mistake.
That's a good one. But you know, blaming Trump when Hillary comes out and blames Trump for what's happening now in Ukraine, and when other Democrats like Pelosi and her crew say that anybody that doesn't really understand what's going on, that it is Trump's fault, that all of us are pro-Putin. How do they reach this logic?
Just because we
don't blame Trump, that means we're pro-Putin?
You know, Hillary's all mad because Trump came out a few days ago and said that Putin making this move and invading Ukraine at this particular time was a smart move on his part. Well, it's true. It is a smart move on his part. Our guard's down. Yeah, we have a weak president. Our guard's down. We gave away all of our leverage. We have no way to stop them. If you're going to do something that stupid, now's the time to do it. And so that makes it a smart move. Now, what Hillary's trying to do is she's trying to spin this and say, well, you see, Trump is praising Putin. No, he's not. What Trump is doing is slamming Joe Biden.
Exactly.
We wouldn't have given away our leverage had it not been for Biden. We wouldn't be in this position we're in today if it wasn't for Biden. We wouldn't have a weak leadership if it wasn't for Biden. He's slamming Biden.
Right. And what's funny about all this, Biden keeps saying, oh, we'll send troops over there, but we're not going to fight the Russians. BS. He's full of crap. Okay, just our presence in the surrounding countries, the NATO countries, puts us in the middle of it. And I guarantee you, if push comes to shove, we'll go in. If Putin steps one foot into one of the NATO countries, whether it be Poland, Romania, Czechoslovakia, you know, any of the countries, the former Russian satellites that have become members of NATO, we are obligated to go in. Does that mean that NATO will go in? If they don't, they're finished.
Right. Right. I mean, it's pretty simple, you know. It the situation over there is what it is tonight because Joe Biden's in the White House.
Exactly.
And it's just that simple. It's very clear. Okay. Trump had him in check. Trump had Putin in check. Putin wasn't going to do anything when Trump was in office.
Mm-hmm.
But Putin's been building up on the border with Ukraine with his military since May. Since last May.
We've known about this for months, folks, and Biden did nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you just shake your head and you go, what the hell? You know? Putin's not a stupid man, but he seems a little impatient right now. But again, he knows that Biden's not going to be the president forever. Not like Putin's the president forever. So if Putin's going to do something, he's got to do it while the liberals are still in control of the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. If you don't think Vladimir Putin pays attention to U.S. politics, you are sadly mistaken.
Oh, he does. He absolutely does. And remember something. Putin, while he might not speak English well, he comprehends it very well.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And folks, that's why the 2020 midterms, we've got to keep our eyes peeled for voter fraud. We've got to call it out every time we see it. Because while that is basically given that we're going to take everything back, don't count on it because of the voter fraud. And the reason I bring that up is if we take back the House and the Senate, we can then change the whole dynamics of everything that's going on foreign policy-wise as well as domestic-wise.
Well, Putin knows this. He's very well aware of that fact, you know.
That's
and
why he's also doing things when he's doing them like now.
Right. And he's also well aware of the fact that come 2024, I mean, forget the 2022 midterms. He knows come 2024, there's a good chance that Donald Trump might be back in the Oval Office and he will be stopped cold.
Right. Whether it's Donald Trump or another Republican, and that's what I'm kind of handling next week.
Right. So, you know, Putin's paying attention to every little thing that goes on in U.S. politics right now. Don't think that he isn't. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing right now. And what's happening right now in Ukraine, it's the middle of the night in Ukraine right now. The Russians cannot fight in the dark. They don't have the night vision equipment that we have, so they can't fight in the dark. So at about 5 o'clock in the morning, that's when the troop movements usually start. That's when they started the last 2 days. And that's going to happen again tonight. What they're doing right now is positioning themselves. The Russian military is positioning itself to surround Ukraine. They're also working on a pincer movement that's coming up from the south. From two different locations in the south, they'll meet near but not in Kiev, and then they'll turn east. They want to try and knock down some of that resistance on the eastern end of Ukraine because that's where the Ukrainian fighters are having their best success right now.
And don't you find it strange that the Russian military does not have night vision goggles?
Well, you think
I think that's very odd.
You'd have think we'd have given some to them, you know. I mean,
I would even go so far as to say that I guarantee you some of the elite soldiers probably do have them.
But not enough.
But not enough, of course.
I'm just saying, you know, during the Obama regime, you know, the Obama regime didn't have trouble giving weapons to just about anybody. I'm surprised they didn't give night vision goggles to the Russians.
Hey, he didn't give them to Ukraine. He gave the Ukrainians blankets. Please tell me how a blanket fights a war.
Well, I don't know. They say an army travels on its stomach, but that still doesn't involve a blanket. So I guess I really don't know. You know, I mean, the situation is devastating to Ukraine, but it's also very odd because you've got people not only in Ukraine that never thought this would happen. You've got a lot of people in Russia that also never thought Putin would do it.
Right. And they're very angry, and that's why they're taking to the streets and protesting. This is a civil war of sorts.
Yeah, they can't. I mean, they look at Ukraine and say, well, what the hell did they do? You know, because Ukraine didn't do anything.
They did nothing.
I'll tell you this. I will stand corrected on something. Earlier this week, on Tuesday night, when we were talking about this, I was leaning towards the fact that Zelensky would fold and run away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing that.
And you know why? Craig and I did discuss that earlier this afternoon, and I think I know why.
Why?
Zelensky is a practicing Jew. His family is Jewish. There's something in the Jewish people that you after the Holocaust and all those horrors, the never again philosophy. We're going to stand strong. This is not going to happen again. And Zelensky could be channeling a little bit of that.
Oh, that's possible.
I'm guessing. But, you know, here it is. Everybody thought he would run away. And it was a very pleasant surprise that he's not.
Yeah, he's standing tall, and that's a great thing. Zelensky is an odd character when you get right down to it. He's not a politician. He's an actor.
He's an actor, right.
You know, and he used to be on a television show in Ukraine. He was actually an actor and a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a television show in Ukraine where he played the part of a school teacher who accidentally became the president of Ukraine.
He wrote his own script, maybe.
Yeah, and now there he is, you know. But he's showing a lot more intestinal fortitude than I gave him credit for earlier in the week, and I'm pleasantly surprised, and I'm glad to say I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, this was a shock. I didn't know at that point what he was going to do.
I don't think anybody knew.
But then when I realized his background and the fact that he and Ukraine have ties with Israel, it suddenly clicked on me. You know, the promise Jews made after the Holocaust, never again.
Right.
And it might be part of his psyche. I could be totally wrong, but it is unexpected that he is doing what he's doing.
You know, earlier, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I just want to brush up against this. Earlier today when Diane was and I were talking, I said, you know, this morning I had the weirdest thoughts running through my head. I thought, who the hell am I supposed to be pulling for in this war? Mm-hmm. You know, you can't pull for Russia and Putin. You know, that's not right. We don't have a dog in the hunt yet. And Ukraine has always been just mildly less corrupt than Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you get right down to it, I'm pulling for Ukraine. I don't think they stand much of a chance against the onslaught of the Russian military, but you never know. And the more you stand and fight, the more you let the enemy know that you're not a pushover.
Yeah, and what the British said today, in 2 days of basically having free run on the country, they haven't been able to capture any major cities. I mean, I've always said, and I said it to Craig this afternoon, you got to be on the side of Ukraine. I mean, Biden being, you know, his strings pulled by the puppet master Obama, they want totally Ukraine to fall and America to be disgraced, because then they get to rebuild America in Obama's vision of, you know, socialist America. You can't be rooting for Russia because Russia is an aggressor against a country that did nothing to them.
Right.
You have to be for Ukraine. And simply the actions of that one man today who gave his own life to help his country, I mean, that solidifies it. The Ukrainians are good people. They're hardworking people. They just want to live in peace.
You know, and they have every right to do that.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. Well, folks, listen, it's been a quick hour. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope we gave you some information that you haven't heard anywhere else. You certainly got our opinions, and that's what Right Side Patriots is all about. But with that, Diane, I think it's time we put this one to bed.
I think so. Nighty night, folks. See you Tuesday.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves, and let's hope for the best. See you Tuesday. Yes.